anyone who follows him throughout all time. He's been moving us through this discussion about what does kingdom people look like? It doesn't look like the Pharisees. God's standards are this way. God's values are this way. And so as he's moved into chapter 6, where we've been for the last few weeks, Jesus has been now moving from behavioral sin issues to how do you practice your faith? How do you live out your faith? And the Pharisees, the first thing he says is, don't be like them when it comes to giving to the needy. Don't try to get all this glory for yourself when you give to those who are in need. Don't be like the Pharisees in their prayer life, who stand out in public and want everyone to give glory unto them for how spiritual they are and how they've got it all together. Look at their prayers. Oh, their prayers are beautiful and amazing. Instead, your prayers should be between you and your Father in heaven. And he guides his disciples in that prayer. You notice Jesus gives a teaching. Don't be like them. And then he gives an instruction on how they're supposed to be. He goes on and then talks to them about the issue of fasting, which is something that most of us, I'm pretty sure, love to sign up for. You know, we want to, I'm going to fast right now. I mean, some people are fasting from meat. I mean, I don't know what that's all about, but trying out vegan, huh? Pretty rough. Yeah. Not going to try that. I love meat. But, fasting, when you go to fast, don't show off so that everybody goes, oh, look, they're fasting. They're super spiritual. Oh, they're doing all this to get all this attention. Christ's like, no, don't let anybody know you're fasting. When you're, it's between you and the Father. Connect with him. Listen to him. It's not about the praise of men. And then Jesus moves from this discussion on religious, what we might call religious behavior, religious things you live out your faith in, to your day-to-day walk. And it's interesting is that you can tell a lot about a person's life. You can tell a lot about their values by what they talk about the most, how they spend their time, and how they spend their money. I mean, if we got together and we started spending a lot of time together, I could learn a lot about you by just the things you consistently talked about, how you scheduled your time, and how you spent your money. I mean, that reveals your values, doesn't it? I mean, if a man who's got kids and he's married and he says, I'm a family man, well, I want to be around and see how you talk about your family. How do you treat them? How do you discuss about them? Are they a burden to you, or is it something that you love? It comes out in your vocabulary. It will be seen in how you structure your time. It'll be seen in how you plan your life and your calendar. It'll be seen in your finances, how you budget and how you plan and what you do with it. These things reveal so much about what we say is our values. Well, Christ is going to begin to speak to the root of our heart today. He's going to be grabbing hold and saying, what is the trajectory of your life? What is your value system? Because your value system guides where your life will go. If you say something is your value system, and yet your what you talk about, your time and your resources and your money are spent in a different direction, well, then you have a value, you have something not jiving. It's not connecting. You say one thing, but your life is heading in a different direction. And so he's going to grab hold of these followers of his and say, guys, time out. If you're going to be kingdom people and kingdom minded, where is your treasure? Where is your heart? What trajectory are they heading in? What's the path that you're heading in with your life? So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19 today. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. If you don't, it's going to be on the screen. But reading from the ESV, Jesus here is continuing in this sermon. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for giving this to us, to guide us, that we may know you, may we walk in your kingdom, may walk in your kingdom ways. Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you will speak through me, speak through your word. And Lord, may you draw us closer to you. If we need to make course corrections in our life, may you do that. May you lead us, may you guide us, may you fill us, may you satisfy us. And Lord, I just pray for all of us who are here this morning, Lord, that we will continue to grow in our walk with you. We will continue to be your faithful children. We ask this, Father, in your name. Amen. So Jesus goes into this dialogue here, and this passage has been sometimes misused to be, you know, oh, look how bad people are who have money. Matter of fact, money is mentioned one time in this section. But Jesus actually uses the word treasure instead of money over and over again, because he does not want this to be an anti-wealthy people lesson. Those who have money, this isn't that they're wrong or they've got issues. It's that all of us can have a treasure. All of us can have things that we say, this is our treasure. This is our value. This is something that we hold deeply to, and we make it a very big importance in our life. Whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you've got a big, huge career, or you're starting out in college, and you're just trying to figure out your life, all of us have some treasures that we aim our life after grabbing hold of. The issue isn't just money. Now, money might buy us some of these wonderful treasures. I mean, you can't have a house without money. I've seen a lot of these. Have you guys seen these shows on TV where you guys are, you know, they're trading stuff to bartering and doing all this stuff? Anybody watch Barter Kings? Am I the only? Okay, a couple of us. They've got this thing where these guys go out and they get a hold of one thing, and their goal is to eventually get somewhere else. You know, they want a big boat or something, and they start out with a guitar, and they just start trading one thing for another and gaining value till they can finally get up. Hey, I've got a motorcycle, and the guy who has the boat wants a motorcycle, and I trade him, even swap. You know, that's still a treasure, right? He wants that. You can pursue after treasures. It's a funny thing is you can pursue after things in your life that you decide this is a value, whether it's an item, whether it's a purpose in life, whether it's the praise of people. You can say this is of high value, and I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to schedule my time. I'm going to schedule my resources and my money to get my hands on that or to get there. So Jesus is beginning this conversation saying, where are you heading? What is your treasure? And the very first thing he says, look at this in verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Right here, he makes a command in verse 19. Do not. This isn't, hey, we got some wiggle room here. Like you can kind of have some treasures on earth and you can kind of, you know, have treasures of heaven. He is making a very strong line in the sand. Do not head in this direction. Do not go this way. Stop where you're going. You can't play here. And my kids do this with me. I'll say, guys, don't do this. And my son does this. He's 5. He's trying to individuate right now, trying to figure out kind of who he is as a person. And he says, don't do this. How serious are you about the not doing, Dad? And Jesus right here is saying, don't. Okay? There are times when I'll say, don't do that to my son, and I'll kind of put up with some of it. And then there are moments where it's like, no, don't run out in front of us. Don't run out into the street. And they just keep running thinking it's a game. And I will raise my voice. I might start pursuing them. And I might grab hold of their little arm and jerk them back, because that which they're stepping out into is danger. That what they're stepping out into might cost them their life. We went for a walk in our neighborhood, and we got 4 wonderful kids. And my littlest one, my little girl, Rebecca, she decided she wanted to run. And we let them have some distance and run away and play and back and forth as we're going on this walk. And we're telling her, stop, stop, stop. And both my wife and I are now, we're yelling at her. And she's still, and finally my wife screams the top of her lungs. And Becca stops, literally, like, here is the street. And she is, boom, and stops. Pizza guy. She was inches from never being on this earth again. Jesus looks at us and goes, don't. Stop. If you're heading in that the direction of your life, stop. U-turn. Come back. Repent. If you're not, don't go that way. Don't head that way. Don't go in this direction of your life, because if you do, it's dangerous. If it wasn't dangerous, Jesus would be like, well, I got some suggestions for you on how to live. If Jesus didn't love us, he wouldn't even say don't. He'd be like, well, here's some wisdom, some ideas for you. You can kind of go this way. You can kind of play around with this. You can kind of go here. But he's actually just making a very strong statement here. There is no gray room. Do not lay up treasures on earth. Do not store up treasures on earth. Do not pursue after these treasures on earth. Why? He tells us in verse 19. He says that these things, moth, rust, destroy them. Thieves break in and steal them. If this is your treasure, if you're pursuing after this, this is something that breaks, something that falls apart. Anybody have multiple dead computers in their home? Okay, a couple of us do. I have 3 laptops that don't work anymore. And I remember every time I got them, this laptop is awesome. It's going to change my life. It's going to make things better. It is so cooler than that one, because that one doesn't work anymore. And you get excited about this. And before you know it, it's dead. I left one in my car when I went into work for 30 minutes, came back out. It got a little hot in my car in the middle of summer in Texas at 110 degrees. And came back out. They can't repair it. I lost years worth of my work in the computer. I'm like, yeah, they're like, Brian, that's completely destroyed. I took it to the geek squad, and I took it to some other geeky guys, and some guys whose geeks have better geekies, you know, and the nerd upon nerd, and they couldn't figure it out. Like, dude, this thing is fried. It's gone. I'm like, all right, now I got to buy another one, you know. And we chase after things to give us importance, to give us value. We chase after small treasures, but then we chase after something that might define our life. This will make my life better. This will make my life great. I have seen people chase after marriage as if it will define their life. If I just get married, then everything will be better. And then for any of us who are married, realize, nope, life radically changes. It doesn't get better. It gets more complicated. Well, then they're disappointed. Oh, if I just get a house, everything will be better. I won't have to pay rent anymore. I'm investing. I'm building value. Yes, that is a great treasure. And then you buy a house and you realize you have to do all the maintenance. The apartment, you didn't have to pay for all the maintenance. Now you got to fix stuff. Now you got to put stuff in. I had to put $9,000 in brand new windows in. I didn't have $9,000. That's debt, man. That's not fun. You know, it's like, you got to throw money into this thing. And you went, did I buy a money pit? Eventually it will become one. And I've seen guys, I have a neighbor, his great treasure, you can see it. It's his yard. The dude has, his grandkids live with him, and he's always screaming at them, stay off the grass, stay off the grass, stay off the grass, stay off the grass. I'm like, dude, it's grass. Well, I got to make it look good. You know, why? And as I've gotten to know him, and I've spent time, I see how he plans his calendar and spends his money, and then I hear what comes out of his mouth, I realize that what's important to him is to present order, because he wants to show everybody that he's got his life together, that his life is controlled and neat and important. And I'm pretty sure, sit and talk a little bit more, you might uncover what parts of his life are not neat, are complete chaos and a mess, because Christ is not in his life, because he doesn't have Christ as the center and it's his greatest treasure. We aim our lives after certain things to accomplish them, to have them, to get them, as if this is going to make it better. And Christ is like, look, when it comes down to it, marriages have problems and sometimes fall apart. Homes break, fall apart, get destroyed in floods, tornadoes, winds. We had a huge, massive tree miss my house by that much. Remember, it was a week or so ago, we had that big wind come through, real quick storm, had like 65 mile an hour winds. Broke my neighbor's huge, massive tree. It literally landed in my front yard, right across my driveway, inches. It would have just devastated my house. If that's my greatest treasure, I was kind of happy it didn't devastate my house. But if your home is your greatest treasure, it's gone in a blink. whatever you're chasing to make as your greatest value, Christ is saying, stop. Stop chasing that. Stop heading in that. That degree, that thing you're going after, if that's what's going to define the meaning and the substance of who you are, that career, that place, that person, that thing, if that's going to be your greatest treasure, time out. Don't go that way. Don't be storing up all this stuff because you know what? Eventually, you can't take it with you. And if you can hold on to all that stuff by time before you die, it has the possibility of rusting, falling apart, being stolen. Why? And you're going to do everything you can to contain that, to hold on to it. I have a neighbor who loves classic cars, and he spends all his money, all his time keeping those suckers going. And he's like, I just put a brand new transmission in it for the second time because it's a classic car and you can't find that transmission. And he's got to spend money, time shopping and looking. He gets it in there and it's not the right thing. It's not as good as he wants it to be. And it breaks. He chases after these things as if it's going to be of high value. And ultimately, it's not. Now, these things are not evil. Christ is not saying that the treasures of this world, the things that we have, the degrees, the things, the accomplishments, the job, the career, the marriage, the home, all that, he's not calling any of it evil. Do you notice that? He's saying, don't make it your highest value. Don't make it the meaning of your life. Because it's not of any value. What does he talk to them about doing? He says, continue on. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Our treasure is heaven. Now, it's interesting is he does not say this is a heavenly treasure. He doesn't say this one thing is heavenly treasures. If you just get this, you're set. And I've heard pastors, Sally, say it's tithing or giving. You need to give more. You need to do more giving, and that's storing up treasures in heaven. I've heard people use this passage to say, you need to be an evangelist. This is your greatest treasure in heaven, is to be saving souls into heaven. And last I checked, when I read the scriptures, I can't save anybody into heaven. Christ does. They're saved by grace. Now, I'm called to be salt and light. I'm called to be an ambassador. I'm called to speak and talk about Christ and be evangelist. But if doing these actions is my greatest treasure, now I'm earning God's blessing. Now I'm earning God's grace. I just do these things and now I'm good with God, right? I just do this stuff and now God's happy with me, right? That's not what he's saying. Pursuing the kingdom of God is the greatest treasure. The entire book of Matthew carries with it one major theme. The kingdom of God is at hand in Christ Jesus, who is our King, Priest, Savior. The kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 4:17, leading into this whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He goes on to talk about kingdom people are blessed because they are poor in spirit, because they mourn, because they do all this stuff. And he moves us through what we call the Beatitudes. Then he goes on to talk about that kingdom people are salt and light. They don't chase after and they recognize the sin in their life. And then they move on and he goes on to this discussion about our prayer life and how we are. We're pursuing, trying to understand and draw as close to the kingdom of God as possible. If our heart and our focus is on God's kingdom and God's kingdom ways, then that will shape the direction of our life. If I say God's kingdom is what's most important, I want to know Christ, I want to serve him, I want to obey him, I want to be holy for him, I want my life to be centered on him, and that's the direction I'm heading, then guess what? How I spend my time, what I talk about, how I spend my money will be shaped around that. It will be focused around that. Look what he says in verse 22 and 23. He goes on and says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What Christ is saying here is, look, he's moved on from our heart being, you know, where our heart is, our That's our greatest treasure and our passion. Now he's using a different organ to help describe this, is our eyes. It's kind of interesting, is I don't know what to grab. I don't know what to put my hands onto, what to kick out of the way, where to walk, and what to do without my eyes. I have a friend who is blind, and he has to rely on help from those who can see, walking stick, etc. And still, he runs into stuff. He still has to figure out and find, and hopefully everything is where it's supposed to be. Our eyes guide where our life is. If my eyes are on Christ, then that is the direction that I'm going. If my eyes are on the treasures of this world, then that is the direction in which I'm heading. If Christ is here and I say he is my, you know, my greatest treasure, and yet my eyes are focused over here, I'm not really seeing where I'm heading, am I? Does anybody ski or snowboard or anything like that? One, two, people, get your hands up there. If you ski or snowboard, I mean, that's a hard thing to do. Okay. Anybody, you know, downhill mountain bike or anything like crazy stuff, or I know you guys do some canoeing or kayaking. Anybody surf? Okay. These are all sports where you're looking, especially how far down you're in front of you you're looking, will guide the direction of where you head. When I'm snowboarding and I'm going downhill, I'm up at the top of the hill, I've come off the ski lift, I'm all strapped in, and I look down. First thing I notice is all the little kids just carving everywhere. And I'm like, I have to not run into them or I will break things. My things. They'll be fine. I'm the one who'll end up in the ER. You know, so you got to see that that stuff is there. Okay, you notice how bumpy the snow is. And then you got to look, where am I going? Because they've carved out all these trees and a wonderful path. But if you don't look to where that path is heading, you will end up in the other trees. You will end up in the kids, or you will end up in the snow. When you're going downhill and you're snowboarding and you're looking, if my eyes are focused on all the bumps on the ground, guess where I'm going to end up? In the snow with the bumps on the ground, being a bump to be run over. I mean, that's where you end up. Because you can't see anything else that's going on. You can't see people. You can't see the direction. You can't see the slope of the hill. You can't see where it's taking you. And before you know it, you're sliding and you're crashing into stuff. If your eyes are focused downward on the circumstances or the things that are in front of you, that's where you're going to end up. So they teach you is when you go snowboarding or you ski or surf or anything, is where you put your eyes, the direction you want to head. I can't see what's behind the next turn and the next turn and the next turn. I know eventually the bottom of the hill is down there somewhere where the ski lodge and I'm going to get some hot cocoa and defrost is. But up here where I'm freezing trying not to die, I have to set my eyes as far as I can see. That is the direction I'm heading. That's where I'm going. If I put my eyes on that and I'm looking there, all this other stuff my peripheral vision will see. I'm staring at the back of the curtains right now, but I can see all of you with my peripheral vision. And I keep staring there, I can know something is happening right here. When we set our eyes on Christ, we're looking at him. He is my greatest goal. I want to know him. I want to be as close to him as I can. And he is going to take me down this trails of life where there are turns and there are changes to the direction where I'm going. Some of these hills will be real simple bunny slopes. And I'm loving the bunny slopes because I can handle the bunny slopes. I am awesome on bunny slopes. X Games on the bunny slopes I can do. You get onto some of these black diamonds, which I did by accident one time. I didn't know what black diamond meant the first time I went down one. I do now. It means death. It's just steep. It's steep and steep. And you see these guys, you're like, oh, I can do that. No. And I was just cruising. I wasn't paying attention to where I was going. I just saw the next trail. I didn't know that they had carved it black diamond. And then I'm on the blue little circles. You know, you got blue, yellow, and black. And yellow gets a little more difficult. And blue is where I stay. And I go, I'm like, oh, and then black diamond, what's that? Nah! And it was about 30 minutes of absolute pain where I had to take my stuff off and walk down the hill. Because I was slamming into everything. I wasn't snowboarding at this moment. I was falling. And that's what we do. We put our eyes not on where we're supposed to be going. Christ has a direction. He has a trail he's taking us based upon where he's developed you at this time. Some of us in our walk with God can handle some occasional black diamonds. Some of us can handle some serious stuff. But you don't just start out on black diamonds. You start out in the bunny slopes. Then you get up on the ski lift. Then you go down on the blues. And then eventually the yellows. And you work your way up. Christ is taking his disciples and saying, guys, if your eyes are on the things of this world, if that's the direction you're heading, you're not going to be paying attention to where I'm taking you in my kingdom. You're not going to be knowing where I want you to go. If this is your greatest treasure, you're going to put all your energy, all your effort into pursuing that. In doing so, you are blind to the direction that God wants you to go. You're not even available to head in the direction that God wants to take you in with your life. Making Jesus Christ our greatest treasure, it simplifies life. You know what to say yes to. You know what to say no to. And as you get used to going down that trail and occasionally falling and getting back up and you have your stumbles and some kid cuts you off and you land on him and yell at him and throw snowballs. And then you get back up and I've done all that. And I'm not proud of it, but it's funny. And you fix your direction and you begin to follow. If you make Jesus Christ your greatest treasure, knowing him, encountering him, you will center your life around it. I'll give you an example. Within our group, we've got people who are studying to be dentists, to be doctors, some people who own their own business, some people who are trying to get going. Some of you are just trying to get out of college. I hated those days. It's like, oh, another test. I don't want tests. I just want to have life. But you're trying to head in a certain direction in your life. And some of us who are studying, I'll give you an example. I know of two exact doctors. Both of them, I can look at how they spend their time, how they spend their money, and what they talk about. Both of these MDs, one of them is a follower of Jesus Christ. The other one, not so much. He goes to church, but being a follower, not what's there. The doctor who claims to be a follower, but is not much, he's pursuing after the prestige that he gets as a doctor. He tries to show off how special, you know, how awesome his practice is, and he gears his practice into how much money he can make. He runs a personal practice, and then he's got all this other stuff that he's doing to gain as much money as he can, because that's his greatest treasure. I have a second MD who I know, who Christ is his greatest treasure, and he's aiming his life towards Christ. And because of that, you see that, you know what? The dude doesn't live as high-end as this guy. He was number one in his medical class. This guy wasn't. From what I've heard, not so good in school. But he's making more bank. And he's living high. And he's living great. That guy, he's living pretty just medium level, because he's pouring his life into those which God has guided him to. I'm not going to prescribe you do this, this, and this. But what God spoke to him as Christ led him in his kingdom ways, Christ led this MD towards medical missions. Christ has led him to, he has his private practice so he can pay for his family and pay for how things are going to be. And then the rest of his money, after he pays his staff, can be towards those who need extra surgeries who can't pay for them, because he's a surgeon. And he fixes malformities in people's faces. He actually goes down into South America and fixes like cleft palates and all this kind of stuff on people. And they can't afford it. Same career. Same path. Same school. One has one set of treasures and claims Christ as his king. The other claims Christ as his king, and his treasures are in heaven. He's following where God is leading him. He sees himself as an evangelist. He sees himself as a missionary. He sees that God wants to use him and his talents and his resources and his time to impact people tangibly here in this world and for eternal kingdom purposes. He's laid his life in that direction. And so Christ is saying here is, don't head in this one direction. Don't pursue the treasures of this world. If you are, stop. Get back on path. If you're God's people, if you are saved by grace, if you are God's children, the challenge for us is not making Christ our king. He is. He chose us to be his children. He adopted us. We are his. But you can be a child who listens and follows the leading of your father, or runs around and does your own thing. That's where he's taking them. if the eye is focused on the things of darkness, then your whole body, he says, will be consumed with darkness. Your whole body will be geared towards that. You can't be a little bit in this with the value system of this world and a little bit of the value system of God and just kind of be doing this little dance back and forth. I'm over here with God a little. I'm over here with the world. I'm going back and forth. You can't do it. You can't. He tells us in verse 24 why. He uses the issue, the treasure of money, and he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can take money out and place whatever other treasure that we might pursue in that place. And he uses the word masters, which is very powerful. You get to choose whom you will serve, but you don't get to be master. Do you see that? You can't serve two masters. There's either God or money. Either God or the things of this world. There's either God and God's treasures and God's ways, and you live, you make that your highest goal, or the things of this world and this world's value system. Which one is going to satisfy you? Which one are you going to set your life on? Which one are you going to pursue? You can't obey both. You notice there is, if it's our master, we obey it. It's in charge of us. It's guiding us. It's directing our life. If Christ is my master, he guides where I go downhill. If fame, if money, if possessions, if popularity, if the approval of men, of marriage or home or all these other things, that's what I choose. That's my greatest treasure. That's what I want to have. Then I will do everything to obey its leading. If it leads me in this way, then I will go in that way. If it tells me you need to have this, you need to do this, you need to have this to be fully satisfied, I am going to go after it. And if Christ tells me, Brian, this is the direction you want to go, and I am a servant of this world, I will despise Christ. I will secretly resist even this teaching about where Christ is taking us, because I ultimately love this more than I love Christ. Matter of fact, I don't even love Christ. I just give it lip service that I do. I want everyone to think I'm a Christian, because that's the good thing. But ultimately, I desire this. I have to make choices. I've started my own business this year, and I'm in sales and marketing. And when God pulled me out of full-time ministry and he started heading me in this direction, I did not know this is where God was taking me. 4 years ago, I had no clue this is where God wanted me to be. And here I am, and my ultimate goal is, Lord, I want you to continue to use me to be a missionary. And before I knew it, he led me into sales and marketing consulting for a local company here that produces magazines. And God has been using me slowly to be a missionary in that office, to the people I come in contact with. Every day I get a chance to sit down with people who are crazy amount of money and crazy amount of influence. Small business owners, MDs, lawyers, all kinds of different people who have influence and impact. And I get a chance to be salt and light. I get a chance to be an ambassador. Or I can get a chance to just make a ton of money off of them, provide a service, and move on. I have to make the choice. Who will I serve? What is my greatest treasure? What direction will I head my business in? It's interesting. We sit in a small business to have church, because Russ has chosen to say, Jesus Christ is my King. He is my Lord, and I want to be used by him. And if God gives me this space, then I want to use this space for God and allows us to be here. I'm not a big fan of having zombies behind me while I'm preaching, but you see where Christ is taking him. You see where Christ is taking us. You cannot love God and love this world. Is God getting in the way of you enjoying this world, or is this world getting in the way of you following Christ? That's two different questions, isn't it? Because if the world's getting in my way, then I want to get as much of what's in my way out of my way so I can follow him. I've got to use this right now for where I'm at, but ultimately it's a season of my life. Some of you are in seasons of your life where you're in school. So you're not even close to getting into your career where God's going to take you. But you know what? You're positioning yourself. You're making choices right now, how you're going to study, how you're going to practice, how you're going to do these things. So as you're living out your career or you're living the direction God's taking you, you can be used by him. Some of you are just out of school. Some of you are just getting married. Some of you are just getting things. Okay, what is my greatest treasure going to be? Christ and his kingdom ways or this world? This world says marriage is supposed to be like this. But Christ says marriage is supposed to be like this. Sometimes they look kind of similar. But when you get to the substance of what they are, they're radically different. A worldly marriage is about you. A Christ-centered marriage is about you serving your spouse. It's radically different. Same two things. Same thing. But different value system. So where I want to kind of wrap up our time with here is we're going to go back into worship. We're going to take communion here in a second. First and foremost, as I want you guys to recognize that this is not about doing things. This is about following your King. This is about surrendering to him. The Christ that saves us from our sin is the Christ who guides us in our lives. The King is present. We're saved by faith, not by works. Therefore, it's by faith that I follow his leading. It's by faith I take his direction for where I'm going. It is by faith. And the second thing I want to encourage you guys to do is just to ask yourself the simple question, kind of a 101 assessment of where is my heart? Where is my treasure? Is go home. When you have nothing else distracting you, take just 15, 20 minutes, take a sheet of paper and just go, what do I talk about? How do I spend my time? How am I spending my money? And then go back and look at your checkbook. Go back and look at your calendar for the last month and go, okay. And just think about some of your conversations. What am I talking about? What's coming out of my mouth reveals my heart. How am I spending my time and how am I spending my money? And some of you, you're college students. You have no money. I understand that. The most expensive thing in your life is a Snickers bar. And, you know, you're like, oh, it's all I can afford. And ramen noodles. And I ate so many ramen noodles when I was in college. I don't ever want to have them again. But, you know, you're at a place where it's like, you can start making that decision. I don't want to go there. This is not a sermon against money. Money is either going to be your treasure or your tool. It's either going to master you or God's going to use with you to accomplish his kingdom. The issue isn't money. The issue is where is your heart? So just assess. Jesus Christ, what am I talking about the most? Lord, where am I spending my time? Lord, how am I spending my money? Just if you can make those simple, ask those simple questions and come to those answers, you can then begin to see what direction are you aiming your life. And say, all right, Lord, we need some course correction. Or, Lord, you're taking me. I don't want to lose track of where you're taking me. I do course correction all the time. I do it all the time. I mean, probably every couple weeks, I'm sitting going, I have to do that with decisions. I'm now a publisher of my own magazine. That's why I started this year. I have a guy who I want to have certain types of guys on the cover of this magazine. Okay, and I can have somebody who offers to buy the magazine, buy the cover, crazy amount of money. But he's a scummy, I deal with lawyers. He's a scummy lawyer. I know it. I know his reputation. And he's offering me crazy money to be on the cover. It's already happened to me. I'm only 3 issues in. And the guy's like, hey, I will give you 20 grand to be on the cover. And I'm like, yes, 20 grand. Time out. I know how you practice law. Everybody has told me. I have to make a decision. Is this the direction I want to head in my company? Because if I do, all of a sudden I'm going to lose my ability to have influence and connect and reach some of these attorneys. My ultimate goal is to be in a place of influence to reach and connect with these attorneys. If I take this, they will not read my magazine, they won't be there, and I will sink my business within a year or two. I have to make a wise choice. it's constantly put in front of me. Lord, where am I going to go? This will make my life for the next couple months a little easier. It will take care of everything I need right now. But that's my earthly treasures screaming at me going, hey. End up having to go with a smaller sail. But it's aiming the direction of what I want to follow, and that's Christ. To be used by him to reach these guys for the gospel. So empower you guys. Assess your course direction. Assess it, assess it, assess it. Look at it. Because that's what Christ is doing. Don't go there. And if you are, head in this direction. This is the direction I want you going. Amen? All right, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for what you've given us. Lord, you give us such wisdom about how to follow you that you don't just demand of us, but you guide us. You don't tell us just what to do and what not to do, but you lead us in the direction of following you. That we can be good stewards of this life you have given us. Lord, I pray for all of us who are here, whether we're advanced in our careers, whether we're just starting off, whether we're in college. Lord, I pray for all of us that we can set our eyes on you. May you be the greatest passion of our lives. May you be the greatest treasure in our lives. And may we structure our lives towards you. May we aim our lives towards you. And even though obstacles may come in our way, we don't lose sight of you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're going into the Lord's Supper here, into communion, this is exactly what Christ did. His greatest value was to save us from our sin. That he humbled himself, took upon the very appearance of man, lived like us, and died on a cross so that we could be free from sin, that we can know him and encounter his kingdom. So when you go and take communion today, and you pick up that bread, which is broken, representing his broken body for you, and you dip it in the juice, which represents his blood that was spilled out for you for your sins, remember that Christ had a vision for what he wanted to accomplish, and the direction that he was going, and that's to bring you into his kingdom. Remember the sacrifice that it took for him so that we could know him and so that we can begin to walk and follow him. I encourage you guys in that.